from the African American Public Radio Consortium. It's a matter of your health, the 30-minute health magazine. Now, here is your host, board-certified physician, Dr. Vita Bland.
February is the month we think of affairs of the heart. And as a physician, I am clearly concerned about the physical condition of your heart, but I am also concerned about the value of the intimate relationships that you are in. So today, our guest is Mr. Jeremy Johnson. He's the author of a great new book, Intimacy from His View, What Black Men Have to Say About Intimacy. In addition to being an author, Jeremy is a multi-performing artist on nightclub stages, music festivals, and concerts in the U.S. and internationally. Jeremy is a proud HBCU graduate from the halls of South Carolina State. And with that, I am pleased to welcome to our microphones, Mr. Jeremy Johnson. Mr. Jeremy Johnson, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to be here.
Well, you know, I think a lot of times we think about, you know, Black men in particular and their emotional health. And I think a lot of us kind of wonder what's going on with that. So can you tell me why you thought this was a good idea to write a book about this? And how did you get
it? Well, I don't even know that I thought it was a good idea. It was poured into me. And I say that, and I say it time and time again. I was just minding my own merry business, you know, living at the time in Lindbergh Station, which is an area just south of Buckhead in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can just recall one night getting ready to go to bed, and the spirit, what I call the spirit, spoke to me and says, I have a project for you. I have an assignment for you. And I'm like, What? And it's just, you know, I have this topic that I want. And just like I'm speaking to you, this is the voice that was being shared with me from within. Mm-hmm. I have this project for you. I'm going to give you all the directions you need. And I just simply need you to be a willing vessel. Say yes. And everything else will be made plain. And the directions will be poured into you, poured out to you. So it was literally, truly a divine inspiration, just as they say the Bible was. This is how this book came to be, through divine inspiration.
I think a lot of women especially, you know, think about, you know, Black males in particular and your emotional health. And a lot of times we just don't know what in the world you guys are thinking and about your intimacy, you know, how that goes. And looking at your book, I see that you really interviewed a wide array of people. How did you come up with these people? How did they come into, you know, your life to be interviewed?
Well, interestingly enough, so again, I'm going to use God. God provided all of the resources. I will say some of the men interviewed are men that I've known through my travels. I have friendships with, and then others, literally, once I put out that I was doing this book and as I started thinking about the kind of diversity that I wanted to incorporate within the book, the different men that are part of the book said, hey, I would like to be a part of that. So it's, like I said, it's a combination of men that I've known or that I know through my own traveling circles, as well as men that literally were brought into my sphere or into my circle as a result of completing this project or needing to, you know, getting this project out.
You know, you have a wide array. I see you have people as young as 31 and you have people as old as 65. So you did get a wide array. You got a wide array of guys from different socioeconomic stratas also. So you kind of got a little bit of everybody.
Absolutely. If I can speak to that, my goal was to, again, I believe in order to be able to say, you know, from Black men or what Black men have to say, then you really do have to capture the essence of Black men's voices. And so that's just not one type of Black man, because there are just so many different types of Black men. No two Black men operate the same, think the same, feel the same, you know, have the same set of ambitions. So I think in order to make that happen, you do have to have that diversity. So, you know, I like to tell people that the only common denominator or common factor within the 15 men that I interviewed was the fact that we were all men of color. But mm-hmm. beyond that, all of the other, there's just tons of diversity that, you know, kind of brings us together. Like I said, the only common factor being that we're men of color. But in terms of ethnic, in terms of educational status, like you said, there's gentlemen, you know, that are part of this book that have doctorate degrees. Then there are gentlemen like me, the writer, who has a bachelor's degree. And then I believe one brother, you know, had no formal educational or post high school. There's a PhD from Nigeria, you know, yes. who graced this book.
Facebook,
as much as Facebook can be the devil to me, Facebook can also be a wonderful tool. So many of these guys, again, I've connected with through some of my social media platforms, you know, Facebook and Instagram. So thank you guys for these platforms.
You know, and interestingly enough, I think a lot of people think that a lot of Black men are kind of closed in and wouldn't talk about their intimate lives. And for you to have gotten these guys to talk about that is interesting and good.
Yeah, it's not a boast, but I want to say I think God has really positioned me in a unique way that I'm a man's man mm-hmm. and I'm a woman's man, if that makes any sense. In other words, I believe God has positioned me to where it's very easy for men who are heterosexual, for men who are homosexual and bisexual and just everything in between to feel some level of comfort speaking to me. And I believe I really don't take any credit for that. I really believe that is a divine gift to mm-hmm. be able to make men of varying persuasions. And again, not just necessarily when we talk about sexuality, but just all different walks of life. You know, I'd like to think if I had the opportunity to speak with President Obama, I'd make him feel comfortable and I'd feel comfortable speaking with him. But I think to be uniquely positioned to be able to grace a variety of men in such a way that it's professional and warming and endearing, that's a blessing. And I'm very grateful to have been positioned to do that.
We're very pleased today to welcome to our microphones Mr. Jeremy Johnson. He is the author of Intimacy From His View, What Black Men Have to Say About Intimacy. So I guess the first thing we need to talk about, what is the definition of intimacy?
Well, the beautiful thing is, so while, of course, there is a definition provided by Webster it used to be Webster, now it's just dictionary.com, right? You know, there is the standard denotative form of the word. I was really interested in getting, you know, how Black men defined intimacy. And honestly, what I found is that, again, no two of us define intimacy the same. And in my research, that is the one thing that I did also that the research kind of supports mm-hmm. that intimacy is really kind of challenging to define in some ways. But for sake of going with the overwhelming definition that I was able to extract from the gentleman, as well as my own heart and my own thoughts about the term, intimacy is simply a matter of closeness associated with vulnerability and authenticity and genuineness. It's closeness. And that comes in many forms. So as I'm sure we'll talk about as we, you know, get more into the discussion. Mm-hmm. But that's it. In a nutshell, very quick, precise manner, closeness. Intimacy is closeness and familiarity.
Okay. Now, when you say that and you use the word someone being vulnerable, that's a word we don't think a lot when we talk about Black men.
For many reasons. When you think about it, as Black men, when we're first boys, black boys, we aren't really encouraged to be vulnerable. We, if anything, we are, it's almost forbidden, you know, it's forbidden, I would say, covertly as well as overtly, subconsciously and unconsciously, you know, when you think about, I often, you know, have thought in my mind about the parenting styles that black women and black men use to raise their children versus, you know, white parents and or our counterparts, you know, white parents and how they parent their children. I believe it's fair to say from my years of observing people and being in education, you know, that, you know, black parents, and I guess it's a matter of feeling that we have to do this because of how we live in the society in which we live. You know, I've you know, listened to the stories of, you know, how black people have to give their sons the talk, you know, mm-hmm. the talk that white men don't have to give their children, which mm-hmm. is, you know, if a cop ever, you know, approaches you, hands on the steering wheel, don't move, don't make any sudden moves. It's the same thing when it comes to vulnerability. We are not, as young boys, you know, told that it's okay to be vulnerable, to express yourself, to share sides of you that you may feel that you may feel that you can't share or are afraid to share. You know, if anything, I believe we are told to, hey, man up, you know, stop crying. Don't show your emotions. That's for girls, you know, and so forth and so on. So very early on as young boys, we are taught to be young men who don't get to express our vulnerable sides, but basically are made to closet or apprehend those sides so that we become young, grown men who in many cases do the same things unless life happens or circumstances happen or experiences happen to help us wean away from that old traditional model of thinking and behaving and into a new form of behavior where we understand that it is not just okay, but it's necessary for us to be vulnerable.
So how do men learn to do that? How do men learn to be vulnerable?
That's a very interesting question. And I am not going to say that I have all the answers. I can speak from my own view, and I believe the view of the men who I've interviewed. But I think it really just has a lot to do with, first, unlearning what we've learned. Before you can really learn new things, you sometimes have to unlearn the old things. So that's one thing. And then, but of course, in order to unlearn this old thing, you have to then be introduced to a new thing. And so I think that new thing comes through our different experiences with other women, with other men, with, you know, experiences as it relates to academia, experiences as it relates to our communities that we live in. I think as we develop more experiences where we are able to share and be more of ourselves, then that allows us to begin to better understand that, this vulnerability thing, it does have a place, and it does it holds merit, and it's important that I find a way to transition from this way into this new state.
I was intrigued by all the different definitions that you had or different types of intimacy.
In my research, what I learned was that there are actually, to date that we know of, 8 different types of intimacy. But for sake of time and for sake of what resonated within me, I chose to focus on 4 of those 8 types. Mm-hmm. And so the 4 that I chose to focus on were emotional intimacy, physical intimacy, which often gets confused with sexual intimacy. Physical intimacy is a part of sexual intimacy, but it is not in and of itself sexual intimacy. Mm-hmm. But emotional intimacy, physical intimacy, mental intimacy, and spiritual intimacy. Those are the 4 that really just resonate within me. I just researched those 4 and, again, centered my questions around those 4 and with the different men that I interviewed. And what I found is that, you know, there are some guys who some men, black men, you know, feel that all 4 are very important to have. others feel that, well, one may be more important than the other. I think I recall one guy saying, hey, you know, there's no way I can be sexual with you or have physical intimacy unless I have the spiritual intimacy with you first. And then I think one of the questions that I asked was, you know, I think a follow-up question ended up being with one guy, you know, can you have, you know, sexual intimacy or physical intimacy without the emotional attachment? And so you have some guys who feel that, yes, there is very, very doable to be able to experience physical intimacy with someone and detach the emotional part. Whereas you have other guys who feel like, no, that's impossible. Whether we think you can or cannot, they all do somehow correlate or, you know, they're infused. So it's just really interesting the different mindsets that each male presents. And so while I may have only interviewed 15 guys, I'm willing to stake a bet that, you know, other men, if they were able to be interviewed about this same subject matter, their responses are going to probably fall along the lines of what these 15 men experienced as well.
Well, let me go ahead and reintroduce my guest. We're very pleased to welcome to our microphone today, Mr. Jeremy Johnson. He is the author of Intimacy from His View, What Black Men Have to Say About Intimacy. Now, I found it interesting when we talk about all the different types of intimacy that you have here. You talked about the bro hug and you know, how it's done with the hands clasped before that, you know, and I said, wow, interesting. I had never looked at it that way.
You know, and I don't know, you know, I think again, for so many of the years that I've been blessed to be on this earth, I've enjoyed, you know, learning through observation. And so there was a point in my life where I would literally either go to the mall or to a park and just sit for hours and observe people's behaviors, people's actions, the way people interacted with each other. And just from those observations, as well as my own personal travels in my own, you know, life, it's just one thing that I noticed with Black men that, you know, as we tend to hug each other, we do what I've coined as the bro hug. You know, it's like you put that fist or that clasped arm, those clasped hands in between your two physical bodies so that you're not physically completely and totally making a chest to chest contact, as almost as though if we were to make that chest to chest contact, that would belittle or diminish our manhood or something like that. And I just think that, again, I think that is symptomatic of what we're often taught as Black men, that men, you know, can't show affection to each other, or that if we do show affection to each other, it's automatically labeled a homosexual kind of affection, as opposed to, in some cases it may be, but in some cases, hey, I like the guys I know, and I do want to be able to express, you know, my love and appreciation for them. And no, it's not that I want to sleep with you. But again, you know, whether it's something that I definitely have, you know, have witnessed on multiple occasions. And I do believe that whole notion of us, you know, given somewhat of a partial hug or the bro hug is symptomatic of us not being comfortable with truly expressing intimacy, male to male intimacy, in a way that is really healthy, and there's nothing, you know, nothing shady or dark or sinister about it. But again, we live in a society, I believe, that I think Black men in many cases almost feel more comfortable shooting guns at each other. Not all of us, of course. But generally speaking, I think we feel more comfortable. And I actually, you know, expressed this in the book somewhere that, you know, we'll talk about, oh, yeah, man, I smashed that chick last night, bro. And I did this and I did that. We feel comfortable having those kinds of dialogues. But yet, you know, when it comes to expressing your love for your brother through a physical contact means a physical contact, then it's suddenly, okay, let's do it like this, because this is more masculine, this is more manly, this is more acceptable in society.
Mm-hmm. Wherein with females, you know, it's nothing for us to hug each other or, you know.
We're all in.
Yeah, we're all in.
Yes. And I love that. And I pray, and I'm sorry for cutting you off. I pray, my hope is that somehow that this book will, one, allow men to start thinking and really reviewing our own actions and our own, you know, mannerisms with each other and challenge those notions that we can't be, you know, maybe I won't live to see the day where, you know, I'll walk the street and see two men completely embracing the way you all do, the way females do. But hopefully we can get to a place in our lives collectively as well as individually where we do understand we have every right to experience closeness with each other. And we need that. It's not just something that we have the right to do. It's necessary. It's necessary. It's necessary for us to do and to experience with each other so that other races can begin to understand that you just can't continue to pick us off. They can pick us off the way they do because they know that we're not close to each other. So until we begin to get closer with each other, other races will think, okay, well, hey, well, they're not even allies of themselves. So why the heck should we feel like we have to show them any kind of respect or true love or care?
You know, when I look at the wide age range that you had of the people that you interviewed, do you see any change in the younger guys that you saw in the older guys as far as the willingness to express intimacy? Or was it just this, you know, I know everybody's different, but did you see any difference in the younger guys?
You know, I want to say, I believe what I saw is that both the younger guys and the older guys, generally speaking, are at the point where we recognize something is not right and something has to change, right? I do believe I saw that in younger guys. Now, I think our challenge becomes what has to change and what is that healthy way to begin to express this intimacy. I think the younger guys are still looking for that part, are somewhat, for lack of a better word, I'm going to say missing or needing more, maybe older men's guidance as to how can we begin to healthily incorporate more intimacy within ourselves as this younger generation of men. So I think the willingness is there. I just think the direction and how, in terms of how we begin better expressing intimacy, I think that's the part where we're still just needing a little more help.
I understand. Okay, let me reintroduce my guest, Mr. Jeremy Johnson. Mr. Jeremy Johnson is the author of Intimacy from His View, What Black Men Have to Say About Intimacy. Now, you talked about this a little earlier in the interview, and I'm going to ask you to just magnify your words about it a little bit more. You're taught this. You're taught this as young boys and, you know, youngsters. So something's got to change back there. What do you think needs to happen with the parenting, as you said, the parenting? What do you think needs to happen with that?
I think back to my parenting, and my parents were, you know, heavily involved in church. You know, we grew up in what was known as the Pentecostal religious faith. And so while we grew up with a bunch of rules and regulations, I still believe that there was a lack of true connectedness with each other. So we have these rules hanging over our head, no real connection to why the rules even, you know, what, okay, mom, you're telling me don't have sex before marriage, but why, you know, okay, dad, you're telling me to love my brothers and sisters, but I'm seeing you yell. I'm seeing you be angry or be, you know, I understand that you're not making enough money and it's affecting you. I believe church and religion provides a foundation. I believe that. I truly believe that. But I believe we have to go beyond that foundation and really seek spiritual guidance. Because I'm a firm believer that you can sit in church all day long and walk away empty if your spirit is not truly tapped into God, to the God within. And so I think that what needs to happen is that parents, first of all, there's a lot that needs to happen, right? I'm thinking about parents that are older and parents that are younger. There's the situation, first of all, of children that are not even being born out of love, the children that are being born out of sexual relations with no true emotional and true romantic tie to the actual act. So you now have this child that's born into a situation where there is no real love. So I guess if I were to try to bring it back, bring the circle back around, the first thing is that there has to be love established within the individuals that actually procreate the life. There has to be love there. There has to be a true love and respect for each other. Once that is done, then I think that parents have to begin to understand that for young men and young women, but particularly young men, since that's what we're talking about, boys have to be given to express themselves, the space to live and be. Even if that is different, even if that looks different from what the parents believe that individual should exist or behave or look like. In other words, dad, just because you dreamed of becoming an NFL star, you shouldn't necessarily raise Johnny with the restrictions of hey, you've got to start walking your life this particular way so that you can meet this criteria that I have set for you. You know, giving young men the space to be themselves, support, encourage, guide, and less of this restrictive, you shouldn't.
Thank you, Mr. Jeremy Johnson. He is the author of Intimacy From His View, What Black Men Have to Say About Intimacy. Thank you.
I'm very grateful. Thank you so much.
It's a Matter of Your Health. The 30-Minute Health Magazine is brought to you by the African American Public Radio Consortium, NPR Distribution, and the Public Radio Satellite System.